Well, it is exciting to be here. Through many toils and snares, God has brought us here. And it's been a privilege to serve as the pastor here for the last 7 years. And I don't take it for lightly. Love you too. Well, there's a word for this anniversary, and I pray if you have an ear to hear, that you receive what God has to say to us as a church. Galatians chapter 4, I won't be long, but I gotta release this to our church and for where we are heading and what is going to happen. I believe God is good. Shout out to some of our partners online, Brittany Watkins, Vanessa, who else am I missing? Christian, Mr. O, he here, but he likes to do it in the chat, which is great. All of you in the room, God bless you. Those of you who I can't see, new visitors, Jackie G, Vlog Her, shout out to you. N Rose, shout out to y'all. I already did that. Who am I missing? Kiki, there we go. Shout out to y'all in the chat. Those of you who are not there. Oh, Parker in the house. There he is. Shout out to him. He's a new dad, y'all. He's a new dad. A beautiful baby girl. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. And it reads, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law." Verse 5, "To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons." Go back to verse 4 for me, Deb. Verse 4, I want us all to read together out loud. Let me hear you read. "But when amen." And so I want to talk to you from the subject this morning entitled "The Fullness of Time." The fullness of time. As we head into this 7-year anniversary, I want to kind of speak to the new season that we're moving in. Amen. And where God will take us. And I want to use from a subtopic this morning, "I'm still on time." I'm still on time. Look at someone, encourage them and say, "I'm still on time. I'm still on time." Ladies and gentlemen, let's start this conversation this morning with a conversation about, or this discussion about time. Time. Ladies and gentlemen, God created time. When he created the universe, he installed what we know as time. Time, ladies and gentlemen, refers to a duration, a period. We know that things have changed, or we know that it's time because it has elapsed. There's a new season, a new time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 makes it very clear to us, ladies and gentlemen, when it tells us, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." I need you to keep that as a mental note, that scripture. Science of physics tells us that time is a property resulting from the existence of matter. As such, time exists when matter exists. So before any of this was created, ladies and gentlemen, time did not exist. There was no time because God does not exist in time. God is beyond time. God is so beyond time that he's even beyond eternity, while he's in the realm of eternity, but eternity cannot confine him because he's bigger than that. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about the difference between time versus eternity, is that time has a duration. There's an end point, while eternity is everlasting. There is no end. That's why when Solomon tells us, ladies and gentlemen, that our life is like a vapor, it's because we're here 1 minute in the duration of time, while eternity is ongoing, never ending. That's why it matters where you spend eternity at. Because eternity is just not this, where your spirit is just going to be hovering around and traveling all through the universe. It has a house where it's going. It's either heaven or hell. And I know people don't like to talk about that, but it's the truth. That's why we're here. Genesis 8:22 tells us, ladies and gentlemen, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Because earth is consisted of matter. So while matter is here, there will always be seed time. There will always be a time of harvest. There will also be cold, and and when you go outside today, you're going to feel the heat. Winter's coming, so you're going to feel the cold, depending on what part of the world you are living at. And then you're always going to have summer, which we're in now. You're always going to have day, and you're always going to have night, because time is changing. Time is constantly moving. Time, ladies and gentlemen, is one thing that we can't buy more of, and we cannot get, and it can't be subtracted from us. Time, ladies and gentlemen, cannot be multiplied. It's just what it is, time. Can't get more of it, can't add anything. It never goes backwards. It always goes forward, because there is an end date. There is a duration of period on which the earth, ladies and gentlemen, shall exist in its form until, my God, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Time. Ladies and gentlemen, time is a constant reminder to us of our limitation as humanity. Time, ladies and gentlemen, is a distinction between the physical and the unseen realm. Ladies and gentlemen, time was placed so that you can know the difference between you and God. Time, ladies and gentlemen, was placed not to God's benefit, but for your benefit. Time, ladies and gentlemen, was simply created by God as a limited part of his creation for accommodating the workings of his purpose in his disposable universe. So, ladies and gentlemen, everything under the sun, as Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, has a purpose. Lay hands on yourself and say, I have a purpose. If you're born and you're still alive in this time, you got a purpose. Because if it's not, you would be out of here. The reality, ladies and gentlemen, is anything existing on the earth right now, whether it's through nature or anything, is existing for the purposes of God. Everything under the sun. You, ladies and gentlemen, being born at this moment, you are born right now because you have a purpose underneath the sun, and your purpose was not created in time, but before time. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what makes us our God, a God that can be trusted. Why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, he's not crafting your story as time goes, because he already knows your end from your beginning. What I'm trying to tell you is this, is that we are in time, but our God is timeless. The Bible says that a day as to the Lord is like 1,000 years. It's like milliseconds. It goes very quickly, because he's not in time, ladies and gentlemen. And because he's not in time, he knows how to create the end and knows how to guide you all the way to his expected end point, because he is not bound by the limitations that we have about seeing only what we can see in time. So that means, ladies and gentlemen, that anything that you see as a blessing is not a blessing because it just so happened to be a blessing. It was that in the timelessness of God and his divine providence, he led you at that spot so that you could receive the blessing that was already ordained before the world began. Is this making sense to you? And so, ladies and gentlemen, anything that God puts in the earth, he put it in the earth with purpose. That's why when he told Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. God already had a thought about who you were, what you would do, what you would accomplish. It was already done before the generation, my God, before times passed. And all you're doing is, if you are obedient to what God calls you to do, because you have your own choices, you have your own free will, and through your own free will, if it aligns with God, then your obedience will see the manifestation of what God already did before you were ever born. Somebody shout out time. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. Yes, sir. Your purpose, again, it says, who Therefore, do not be ashamed. 2 Timothy verse 1. Verse 1 and 9. Let me go to verse 9 for me. Let's see. There we go. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own what? Purpose and what? And grace, which was given to who? Us and who? Christ Jesus before what? Ladies and gentlemen, people got it twisted. God already knew what man would do before he even created it. That's why he already had a redemptive plan already in place. God didn't make nothing up when he told this enemy in the garden that the seed of a woman would crush the serpent's head. He didn't make that up. He already knew what he was going to do. And he did that, and so he, according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So before time was ever a thing, before time became a reality, ladies and gentlemen, it was in the purpose of God, ladies and gentlemen, that he had works planned and called us with a holy calling. Even when you were unholy, he said, listen, there is a holy calling available to you if your decision will have you to accept what he has for your life. It's time. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing that I like about time. Because time was created, that means that time belongs to a creator. Because time was created, that means time belongs to a creator. That means somebody has to be controlling time. Oh my goodness, in here. And if someone is controlling time, because matter cannot create anything outside of an intelligent being, ladies and gentlemen, who could create and create matter first of all, and then out of that matter, then it wasn't a big bang, it was the matter that God organized mess and put it together, and he put it on the right axis and put the sun where it was just enough so that the earth could shine and not get burnt up. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a God outside of time, and he created time. And so if he created time, that means he's the organizer of time. If he created time, that means he is the rightful owner of time. Psalm 31 verse 15. This is about to make sense in a minute. Psalm 31 verse 15. It says, my times are in your hand. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The psalmist says that my times, he didn't use it as a singular, but plural. All of my times that are wrapped up under the heavens are being controlled in the master's hands. That means there is a time when he's going to release blessing. There's a time he's going to take you through to some tribulation and testing. Ladies and gentlemen, all of my seasons of life are in the hands of God. All of my seasons are in the hands of God. And what better person than our hands to be in, our times to be in? What does this have to do with Galatians 4 in our text today? Well, it has everything to do with it, because in God's perfect timing, ladies and gentlemen, he sends his son, Jesus, into the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, anytime God wants to shake things up in the universe, he sends a man to do it. Or he sends a woman to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, God uses people. There are times, ladies and gentlemen, that he decides when it was time in his redemptive plan. After all of what has been spoken since Genesis, from Genesis to Malachi, ladies and gentlemen, it was a year or a season or period of time of silence where God did not say anything to man. There was no word that came out of the voice of God. But what God did, because he controlled
the seasons and times. He let things evolve, ladies and gentlemen. You got to realize that sometimes when you don't hear the voice of God, it's not that God is not present. He's just letting the time mature. He's letting certain things evolve because there are certain things that got to evolve first before you can go through a door. Oh my God, some of us are impatient because we are not willing to let things that are outside of your control to evolve first, because if it evolves first, then you can come through the door. Oh, glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, what does that got to do with anything? Because, ladies and gentlemen, as time evolved, what began to happen was Rome became a superpower in that day. Therefore, while Rome became a superpower, they had a season of peace because Rome had, oh my God, that part of the world under control. Not only that through Rome's technology, they were able to institute roads. Oh my God, and oh my God, through different ships and boats, and all of those things have been evolved at this point now. And so now, through technology of that day being evolved and Greek being the dominant language, which will open up, oh my God, for the Bible and things like that to come forth of, then God said it's the perfect time now. Because guess what? Through the word of the prophets, they said curse is a man that would die on a, that would hang on a tree. And oh my God, Rome's form of persecution was crucifixion. And in order for that to be paid, then Rome had to come and be a superpower in order for Jesus to die according to the scripture. Time. Shout out, say time. And so the Galatians 4 verse 4, Paul says, in the fullness of time. It says, in the fullness of time, ladies and gentlemen, the meaning of this, it says when the time was ripe. In other translations, it says the right time. There is such a thing as a perfect time. There is such a thing as perfect timing. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not telling you something that's mystical. I'm telling you something that's true. The reality of the matter is there is such a thing where things that God has aligned things in such a perfect way. And you're like, oh my God, God, you really showing off today. You really blessing. Because I didn't know how it was going to align like this. But it just felt like everything aligned the way I needed to align. It just felt like everything fell in place. And I didn't have to try anything to do it. All I had to do was just shit. And rest and see, oh my God, the salvation of the Lord. It's like it just fall into my lap. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a time, a perfect time. God will bring things through at the right time. The Apostle Paul, ladies and gentlemen, used this image of a child coming of age to say that Jesus came at a point in human history when time was ripe and released humanity from the bondage to the law. God had a redemptive plan before there was ever a fall of man. And because of that, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was hiding in plain sight, ladies and gentlemen, in the Old Testament. He was speaking of from his father in Genesis first, and then all the way through the prophets. And then there were foreshadows of him, ladies and gentlemen, because sometimes what God was doing was hiding his son within his quiver. Oh my God, so that nothing would get out about his plan. This leads me to what I'm about to tell you, TCF. Ladies and gentlemen, when I was in my room, when I was getting ready for this, the Lord began to speak to me in my time of prayer that, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why we didn't see the growth that we thought we wanted to see numerically is because it wasn't meant to be seen to the eye first. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been taught that growth is always seen by the eye, but the reality is growth is never seen on the surface first, but growth is really happens underneath the surface. Everything that is ever grown starts from a seed that goes into the dirt. You can't see what it's doing in the dark. Oh, you can't see what it's doing, but it's growing right in the dark. You don't see it when a photo, ladies and gentlemen, is being developed. There's a red room and a dark room, and in that dark room there's things that's being developed, and everything that's not right about the picture is being developed, because you can't despise your season of being hidden. Ladies and gentlemen, it is one of the most frustrating places, but it's so, my God, the most fulfilling place, because in the dark you learn about who you are. In the dark you're able to try things out without being exposed. In the dark, ladies and gentlemen, God works on your character so that when you do come unto the light, people don't see no imperfections because they have seen what God has done for you in the dark. TCF, you're coming into a season of exposure, and our 7 years is a year of completion, that chapter of the dark is over. But the reality of the matter is, when we are in the dark, we were able to grow like never before. We were able to grow our roots deeper, and most of you are here because we didn't quit when we could have.
Ladies and gentlemen, Isaiah 49 verse 2 says this. It says, and he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has what? Hidden me. Ladies and gentlemen, the prophet Isaiah says that he made my mouth like a sharp sword. He sharpened me in the dark. In the shadow of his hand, he hidden me, and he made me a polished shaft. That means that he polished me when I had my imperfections. He polished me in the dark. Ladies and gentlemen, he crafted me. And guess what? While he was polishing me, he didn't let my dirt be seen in the public. So that I would be able to come out as pure gold.
You better thank God that he hid you from a lot of things. There were things that if he didn't hid you from, you would be killed. You would be destroyed because you wouldn't be able to handle where you were supposed to go. And that's why God had to hide you.
Thank you, Lord.
He had to hide you. If he didn't hide you, where would you go? If he didn't hide you from some things and vindicate you, where would you go? Where would you be?
Come on.
Are you hearing me this morning? He vindicated us. Yes, he did. And he polished us, ladies and gentlemen. He's been polishing us. He was sharpening my word in the dark. Ladies and gentlemen, even when there was no one coming at the time, ladies and gentlemen, it would be only me, myself, and guess what? My God sister sitting over there, she would be there too. Hallelujah. Just sitting there saying, go ahead and preach, Brandon, because there wasn't many people that was coming at one time. And that's what I'm not ashamed to tell our testimony, because now you're sitting in it. But the reality of the matter is that I was polished in the dark. Even when pandemic came, I didn't care. There was nobody, no chance. I preached to nobody anyway. It don't make me know, never mind. Cause I was polished in the dark. And now I get to a place where I oversee 2 churches, planted them in 1 year. How do you get there? Cause you was polished in the dark. Look at somebody, say, it was the dark that made me who I was. It was in the valley that made me who I am. I don't forget where I come from, cause I know where I was, and I know where God came and brought me from.
It's the dark. I always wondered why. Why, God, would you allow me to go through certain things? Why? Why? God, why does it seem like I've done everything? I lead in integrity. Why can't we get a consistent amount of people? Why can I get just like 20, maybe 10? Can I get something? And the Lord told me, I'm not preparing you for nothing little. I'm preparing you. And TCF, that when you, in this next 7 years, because of what I did in the dark for you, it's going to be able to stand the test of time.
Ladies and gentlemen, I started this church at 22 years old. At 22 years old, I started this church. Heard everything under the sun. He don't know what he's doing. All of this craziness. And guess what? Over time, I didn't say anything to anybody, but I let time play its course. I just kept on being hidden in the dark. You don't got to say nothing. You don't even have to come. You're just going to see what happens in the dark. And ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you don't have to say nothing to nobody. All you got to do is let the maturation of time evolve. Let that thing evolve. Yeah, you saw me yesterday, but I look totally different now because I just let that thing evolve. And guess what? All of nowhere, people will be coming to you. How did you get there? How did you get from it? Why? Because all I did was work and kept my head down. You don't gotta say nothing to try to prove nothing to nobody. And you're not out here to prove nothing to nobody. You just let God do the proving for you. And you just keep doing what you're doing because God has a way of getting you to a place where people will come to you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on now.
Don't despise the dark. I used to hate the dark.
Come on.
I used to be afraid of the dark. Why? Because it felt like no one would notice. And it feels, ladies and gentlemen, like all of what you're doing, it feels like a waste. And you feel like, why me in the dark? But in the fullness of time, shout the fullness of time. There is a time that is not coming. The time is here that he will begin to unfold the shadows and bring you into where you need to be. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, that the reason why Jesus appears at this time, because it also speaks, ladies and gentlemen, of the prophecy that Daniel gave in Daniel chapter 9. It's not there, but I must make this very clear, that it's 483 years prophesied by Daniel were drawing to a close. Daniel spoke of his first coming, and that first coming has to do with the 70-week prophecy. And when you understand the number 7, ladies and gentlemen, you understand that the number 7, ladies and gentlemen, is God's number. It is the number of perfection. It is the number of completion. Ladies and gentlemen, in 7 cycles, he completes a thing. Ladies and gentlemen, on the 7th day, he completed everything and he rested. It is God's number. Ladies and gentlemen, when he saw what the work was good, he sat down and he rested. Ladies and gentlemen, what am I trying to tell you? That there is a time, a perfect time. And why did God hide Jesus for as long as he did? Not just for time to evolve, but let me give you this revelation that God gave me. You sometimes are focused on proving things to the wrong people. God ain't trying to just prove you in front of your haters. That's very immature thought. What am I about to tell you? When God allowed Job to go under the testing by Satan, it was to prove to a power, the dark world, that he would not betray me, even though some of you did. You're going to get it later. But you ain't just proving nothing to somebody you don't like or who don't like you. You better understand it's bigger than them. It's that God is putting you on display in front of all of heaven and the dark world, letting them know that this daughter or this son of mine is proven. I don't care to prove nothing to you. It's bigger than you. Because that God is trying to tell every power, every principality. See, they didn't. I told you they wouldn't quit. I knew they wouldn't. I'm telling you, I'm putting them on display so my glory could be seen. You got to realize the reason why you're being hidden, because God is going to let some glory be seen so that you can prove to all of heaven. Prove to all of the dark world and Satan's imps. That when you tested them, when you tempted them, they didn't fall under pressure. Oh, I don't know why I'm going this way, but in the dark season, don't you fall under pressure. Jesus said, oh my God, Satan came to sift you as wheat, Peter. But I
pray that your faith wouldn't fail. I'm praying, TCF, that when you get out of the hidden season, your faith will not fail. Don't you fall under pressure. Pressure makes you who you are. Pressure makes you who you are. And be appreciative for where you come from.
Pressure. Pressure, ladies and gentlemen. You know why people quit and they so easy to quit? Because they don't like pressure. This generation, ladies and gentlemen, couldn't endure half of the things that our ancestors had to deal with because they survived pressure. Ladies and gentlemen, when Moses was on the backside of the desert, by the time God was ready to use them, it was over 400 years had elapsed. Why did God allow such time to elapse? So that they could be built under pressure and prove a point to them that even when you tried to persecute them, all they did was grow. Even when you tried to bring more hard tax on them, all they did was grow. And when God came to Moses at the burning bush, he said that, oh my God, their voices have now, I've heard them. Not that he didn't hear them, but he heard them because this was the time, this was the moment. And I'm bringing you, Moses, off of the backside of the desert to save those who've been calling out. Their spirits are ready now, and I'm ready to bring them out. Look at somebody, say, God is ready to bring you in the forefront. Look at somebody, say, I know how to survive pressure.
I know how to survive pressure.
You single moms in here, you know how to survive pressure.
Oh my God, you know what it's like when you don't have help, and God was only your sustainer. Cause I survived pressure. All of you, you survived, may have survived cancer or different sicknesses, cause you knew how to outlast the pressure. Grief hit my family like crazy, and it felt like all my mom's side is depleted. But guess what? I knew how to survive the pressure. When there was 2 funerals in 1 year, and it felt like they was going like a roller coaster back and back and back, we survived the pressure.
Jesus, I praise you.
Hey, cause in my hidden place, I knew how to survive and knew how to get on my knees and call on God for help. And the Bible, I feel you, Holy Ghost, now. And the Bible says that he's a present help in the time of trouble.
Some people don't have that relationship because they don't know how to survive pressure. It's in pressure, the hidden place where you know who God is. Hallelujah. You can know him on the valley, but there's a different type of knowing when you don't have much. There's a different type of knowing when you feel like your soul is depleted. There's a different type of knowing when it feels like things are not going right and you feel like God is against you. There's a different type of knowing when you feel like, Joe, that everything around me, oh my God, but oh my God, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Oh my God, oh my God, it feels like everything is encamped around me. One thing I know for sure, that they that wait on the Lord shall. I gotta bring this to a close. But TCF, I'm preaching this hard because I'm telling you, we getting out of here. We getting up out of here. And God is about to elevate you. In 2020, I said this is the decade of growth, the decade of the horizon. And guess what? We're about to see the manifestation of God. Ever since then, we got bigger jobs than what we had back then. God has blessed us bigger. Our team ain't driving the same car we used to drive. Why? Because we survive pressure. Look at somebody, shout hallelujah. You can't tell me nothing, cause I was under the fire and I survived. Hey, you ain't talking to a novice. You ain't talking to somebody preaching at you. You're talking to somebody who's been under the fire.
Got nothing to prove to you. All I know is I got battle wounds to prove where I was at.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And in the dark place, God sharpened my mouth. God made me a polished pastor. God now is making me a polished overseer. God has now polished me. You see everybody in our worship team. Y'all didn't see what they was doing at the gathering place. They was polished in the dark. Pastor Dom, you see EP now preaching the way he is. But it wasn't always like that. Because God polished him in the dark. Brother Brittany wasn't always up here. But oh my God, in the beginning, she wasn't doing what she was doing. But God polished her in the dark. When you look at the graphics and all of what you see in here, Elder Vernon wasn't doing that at first, but he polished him in the dark. You only seeing the, oh my God, the inner workings of what God has polished in the process of time. And if you see where we are now, you better look to where we're going in the future. Because we didn't come to conform. We came to transform. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Look at somebody, say, you see me now. But God ain't doing me yet. He ain't done with me yet. Flaws and all. He ain't done with me yet. Oh my God, glory is gonna be seen through my flaws. He ain't done with me yet. The fullness of time. Hey, we coming into our fullness of time, Jesus. Where God has aligned it.
James 1:4, I gotta go. I gotta finish. I praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Because in the dark, God is hitting you in his quiver. He didn't let nobody get to you. He didn't let that sickness take you. He didn't let it overcome you. Because in the dark, he said he ain't done with you yet. Hallelujah. I'm not done. I'm not finished with you. You don't like it, but it's necessary for you. Because guess what? When you come out, your integrity will always stay intact. When you come out, you'll be even more humble than what you came in as. Because you know where you come from. And you can empathize with people because of where they are. Sharika, it's the process of time. The evolution of time. In the fullness of time, Jesus came. He died and completed everything under the law. The moral law by in his body. And the ceremonial. In the ceremonial law with his own blood. And because of that, ladies and gentlemen, we live under a new dispensation called grace. And because of the grace of God, we are where we are and how he's going to keep on keeping us. Because ladies and gentlemen, you ain't seen nothing yet. The fullness of time. Time has is you know, time may not be on your side, but there's moments where time is on your side because it's the perfect time of God. And do not allow your impatience get you to cause you delays, because sometimes you're delayed because of your own impatience, because God has already had it done and his timelessness is already there, and our decisions delay it because we decide to do everything else under the sun but what God is trying to tell you. Don't delay time because you're in being impatient with time. Don't delay time because you're being impatient with time. There is a fullness of time that is here, that we are in the season of it. It's not coming I'm telling you what the Lord told me. It's now. Ladies and gentlemen, the church is not going to look like what it looked like now by the end of this year. You're about to see what God has been trying to get across to us for the last 7 years. I'm not doing nothing small for you. I'm doing it on a big level. Big things, because you serve a big God. And I'm telling you, it ain't come yet because it wasn't the time. But now the time is now. And the time is here. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I close for one of my favorite passages in Isaiah 63. Arise and shine. Ah, Lord Jesus, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The time is now. Stand to your feet. The fullness of time. The fullness of time. Lord God, I thank you for this moment. We celebrate you for all of you have done. You've been good to us. You've been good to us, Lord. Started from nothing and been able to sustain. Other churches, God, who started around our time are closed. But Lord Jesus, you've managed to keep us and keep this people. That proves that this people is a resilient people. And we thank you this morning for what you have done. But God, we just don't thank you for the past. We thank you for our present. And God, we don't just thank you for our present, but we thank you for our future. Because Lord, our future is secure in you. Knowing that you hold our times in your hand. And in the fullness of time, you planted a seed in the ground called Transformation Christian Fellowship. You knew who we would be. You knew at this time we would be here. And for that, Lord, I thank you. Lord, thank you for when we didn't see how stuff was going to be paid. Lord God, you've managed to keep us. When we felt like things, people were all the way, you were still there. When there was no one in the room, you were there. You made your seat with us. And I don't take nothing for granted. When I wanted to quit, God, you said no. You're being shaped for this. Molded and polished. For that I say thank you. Thank you for every partner, part of TCF, Lord. They're online, they're in person, they've shown up in numbers, oh God, and we thank you. I exalt your name today. Now, Lord, I say touch and heal today. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lift your hands to heaven. We're getting out of here. You have times and seasons in your hand. You call forth light out of darkness. You don't need no other man to tell you who you are. You are God all by yourself. Because you are God from beginning to the end. There's no place for argument. You are God all by yourself. You have my time and my seasons in your hand. You called forth light out of darkness. You don't need no other man to tell you who you are. Oh, you are God all by yourself. You are God from beginning to the end. There's no place for argument. You are God all by yourself. Cause you're too faithful to leave me. You're too faithful to leave me halfway. You've proven yourself in my life, and I come to realize you're too faithful to leave me. Sharon, while you have your husband's hand in your hand, I pray over him today that you would touch him in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord God, you know what he's been dealing with, Lord. You know in and out of doctors and all of that stuff, Lord, but you've kept him this far. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, as I stand here as your man, I say, God, bring healing to his body now in Jesus' name. Perfect, oh God, the things in his body that are out of place. I decree and declare, regulate his body to work as it needs in the name of the Lord Jesus. I decree and declare right now the healing power of God will arrest his body right now. And I decree by the power of God that your body responds to the word of the Lord over what we're saying right now, that you shall live and declare the works of the Lord in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare that you will be a walking testimony of the faithfulness of God in the name of Jesus Christ. We decree and declare by his stripes you are healed in the name of Jesus Christ. We decree and declare that heart is healed. Every artery is healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Every ailment is healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I decree and declare life over you, man of God. I speak the life giving power of God over you that gives you strength in the name of Jesus, that strengthens your feeble knees in the name of Jesus Christ. And we decree and declare right now that your hand and your power is touching even now. Now strengthen your woman of God as she walks alongside of her. It ain't been easy, but God, I pray strength right now as she stands and fulfills her covenant in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, God, of staying true to covenant in the name of Jesus. Oh God, strengthen this family. God, a lot has transpired in these last few years, but God, I pray right now, God, their ladder will be greater. It don't seem like it now, but it will be greater. In the name of Jesus, we decree and declare it now by your power, and it cannot be any other way. In the name of Jesus. So I seal this couple, oh God, under your glory. I seal this couple right now in the name of Jesus. Your strengthening power over them. Your healing power over them. Your power of comfort over them. In the name of Jesus. I feel it even now. It's breaking off of you. It's breaking off of you. In the name of Jesus. Healing power of God. God is going to give you new strength, renewed strength in the name of Jesus Christ. I seal this word today by your power in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on and praise God for him in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I thank you now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. I got one more. Lady Di, come here. In the name of Jesus. We're getting out of here, I promise. Oh, God, I speak this over you today. I wasn't going to do that. I was going to make that the last and be gone. But the Lord knows you need it at this time. What I'm going to say to you, it's only me and you that knows this. But there are times where you don't make known what you're actually going through because you like to keep things confined at times. And I understand that. But in this time, I must call you and pray for you because certain things around you, specifically with family, has really done a toll. And you haven't talked about it lately, but it's really become frustrating. Because why the people that I actually am blood to are like this? And you felt alone, and it gets lonely at times. And you don't say nothing because you keep doing what you're doing. But God told me to tell you this. Though you may have felt abandoned, you've never been abandoned.
Yeah.
I've always surrounded you. And you don't have to look for what you already have. In Jesus' name. You don't have to. I've given you a group of people to secure you. You are secure. And even though you wanted that validation from blood, the Lord says it's the people I've came and brought to you that were not blood that brought you what you needed. Because if you didn't, you would have died in your depression and in isolation. But this morning, on this day, God said, I've sealed you, I've covered you, I've hidden you, and ain't nothing, no word is going to defame you or bring you down and tell you what you are not. Because they don't know who you are. In Jesus' name. So if I have permission to lay my hands on you, I'm going to lay my hands on you. And I'm going to just say, be healed in your mind. Be healed in your emotions. Be secure. Be secure. And God is going to reward everything. And there was a loss not too long ago. I don't know what it is. It had to do with monetary. But the Lord says, I'm about to bring it back to you double. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. For what you give, I'll give to you. Everything that you've sown, I'll give it back to you. I don't lie, says the Lord. I'll make due on my promise. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Listen, if you believe that, come on, praise God for her. In the name of Jesus, come on, praise God like that was you. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. I got one more. I'm sorry. I got to do this. Tamika, stand to your feet. Listen, I decree and declare whatever medicine that they're trying to give you to strengthen your back, I'm praying that the God of the God of all healing and power will touch you and really touch you mightily. Because I decree and declare you will not become addicted to what those medications. And medication is necessary. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying that God is going to operate as a surgeon. And God is about to strengthen every bone in that back. And God is about to, that spine is about to come into alignment in the name of Jesus. That spine is coming to alignment. Not only that, but I also see this too. Not only the spine, but it is also, my goodness, there's also that nerve that's there that is causing some pain there. And I decree and declare right now in the name of Jesus that God is about to put some cushion between those back plates in the name of Jesus right now under the power of God. And so if you can stretch your hands this way, come on and speak healing to this back in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare that back is healed in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare not another surgery, not another surgery, not another surgery, not another surgery will touch this back in the name of Jesus Christ. I decree and declare that what the enemy tried to take you out, hallelujah, that, oh my goodness, God is strengthening you right now in the name of Jesus. Your purpose is still clear. Your purpose is still strong in the name of Jesus. And because of your generosity as you being a giver, I decree and declare that even unto you today, what you have sown will be given back unto you, double full in the name of Jesus, oh God. Not only that, but God may replenish you with strength in the name of Jesus, because everyone pulls on you in the name of Jesus. And we decree and declare, God, that you will fill her from the soul, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet in the name of Jesus, oh God. That we decree and declare, God, that everything that she's poured out, God, you're giving it back, strengthening, strengthening now, strengthening now, strengthening now. Hallelujah. Those dreams are not dead neither. Hallelujah. Those dreams are not dead neither. It's just the beginning. Hallelujah. Even when you in this message was for you because you thought time had gotten away from you. But time is still there on your side. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Time is still on your side. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I haven't forgotten about you. He has not forgotten about you. He sees in secret. He ain't forgotten about you. Ah, hallelujah. I feel the weight lifting up off of you even now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't restrain it. Come on and praise him for it. Open your mouth and praise him for it. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Hey, glory. Oh, man. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! 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 Yeah, yeah! Hallelujah! Hatatana na makuri na mano makura masia. Ha, glory! Hallelujah! Your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. You're the miracle. You're the miracle. Working God, your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh.
Your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. You're a miracle working God. Your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. Your name is
I give you Jesus, that in the fullness of time Jesus came, that you no longer have to be at enmity with God, that you can have peace with God, and that peace will surpass all understanding. If you're not saved today, I offer you Jesus. If you need a church home, this church home of TCF is available, whether you're online or in person. Don't you leave out of here. If God is pulling on your heart to do it, make the decision now. I thank you. If you're not saved, everyone repeat this after me. It's not the prayer that makes you saved, but it's the real confession of your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Make me whole again. I acknowledge you died on the cross, that you were buried, and that you rose again, and you ascended to the right hand of the Father just for me. And because of that, I give you my life today. I want to make you my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer online or in person, you can right now text that number that's on your screen. Thank you, Jesus. Holy, are you Lord God, everybody?
Are you Lord God, Almighty?
Worthy is the Lamb, say.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb, say.
Worthy is the Lamb.
You are holy.
You are holy.
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 Are you Lord God?
Are you Lord God?